WR4AAE Mobile.
Who is that mobile?
R4AAE.
B4DJ, that'd be good afternoon.
And it's Don, correct?
Pretty close.
I've heard you a lot on the air, and I think we have chatted a couple times. Steven on this end, I think I've seen you at some of the ham radio club meetings on Monday nights.
Finishing up a project in the garage, and I was blowing the air, going to blow the dust off that I created with drilling holes, so it's cutting wood, and I just caught the tail end of who that was. I didn't catch it. KR4AAE, is that right?
And as soon as I get my extra, I will most likely apply for vanity, because this one is a mouthful for everybody to say and remember, even for me.
Second letter of the suffix, then, I take it. How long have you had your license?
On Christmas Day of December 2024.
That is the new. When I got mine, we were on I. It was KI. And that was over 20 years ago. I think back in October is when it was over, when it was 20 years. And now they're on R. So they've done all the letters of the alphabet. They skipped some. There's one dedicated to Alaska, and there's other things like that. But so they skip a few. But once they use up all that are available under that letter, they increment to the next letters. It's pretty cool to hear those new letters coming out.
Not the first to say that. Kind of throws everybody off. They're like, whoa, we're on the KRs? Whoa, how'd we get here already?
Moving on. So how you liking ham radio so far?
Thoroughly enjoy it. It's something new. It piques my interest. I've got a tape measure Yagi sitting in my living room that I just need to solder a couple pieces on and give it a test and see if it works. Coming from a guy who likes to tinker and likes to build and create, it seems like the perfect place for me to be right now.
Well, trying to talk, there's a guy that joined up or signed up the same time I did back 20 years ago. Well, it was maybe a year after I did. But there was quite a few of us that came in. The first people that came in back at that time. And there's some people that dropped out, and I'm trying to get him to come back in. He said he hears us talking right now. So he bought him up some equipment, and he got him a tower, and he's got an antenna and a power supply and a couple of rigs. He just doesn't have anything set up yet. So I'm trying to get him back on the air again. You know, just keep on not nudging too hard, but don't let up enough that he forgets about it. Anyway, it's pretty cool. It's good to hear that you're liking up here. What's the name?
Name is Steven.
The name, I remember talking to you before. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're liking it. There's a few Steves on here. Do you go by Steve or Steven?
Steven, preferably. Yeah, there's I've ran into a few Stevens, a lot of Dons, quite a few Daves. Pretty sure there's a couple more out there that are more, there's a lot more of other names out there. I just haven't discovered them yet.
Well, what kind of hours are you able to get on the radio? Do you work day shift, or what kind of job you do?
The standard 8 to 5 p.m. I'll hop in there. Mornings on the commute, during lunch. Breaks every couple hours now and then. And then I'll try to hop on the nets in the evenings when I can. But usually if I'm by a radio, I've always got it on and I'm always monitoring.
They let you carry it around with you at work?
Negative. I usually go out in my car, eat my lunch, turn the radio on, talk to some people, because sometimes I don't talk to anybody throughout my days and it kind of gets a little boring.
Working either. I'm retired, by the way. I retired in 2022. That'll be into 2021, the beginning of 2022. And I worked from home the last 15 years, 15 or 16 years. and still couldn't talk on the radio. I mean, I did every once in a while, but it never really let up enough that I could turn the radio on, because I was usually on the phone and I had it on, people could hear it for the meetings or, you know, stuff like that. So it made it really difficult. At the end of the day, working from home, I would get up and drive to Starbucks. That was my commute home. And that's when I talk on the radio, drive to Starbucks, pick up my Starbucks, and drive back home. Just as a rite of passage between working hours and off work.
Copy that. It's always nice to talk to somebody on the radio instead of driving in silence when you don't feel like listening to music or listening to the news. It's always a breath of fresh air, and everybody has been friendly, helpful, pointed me in the right direction, answered any questions I had. It's been awesome. It's a great community. I wish more people would get into it and see the community that's behind it.
Up and down. Sometimes we have a lot, and then sometimes it gets, you know, so it's not consistent all the time. It used to be, I don't know, 10 years ago. I was about 10 years into it. And when it was time to get off work, you were lucky if you got to talk once or twice the whole commute home. Because there was probably 15 people that would talk on the way home. And, you know, when you have that many, it only comes around once in a while. And keeping up with everybody is fun. It's challenging. It's a lot of fun. But then it gets down to where sometimes you hear people getting off work, and you maybe hear one or two people throw their call signs out there, and that's all you hear. So it does fluctuate quite a bit. But that's okay. It's good to hear new calls like yours coming out there all the time.
And I think once you get over the mic fright, as I think Patrick had put it, it gets a little easier and easier. So I figure the more you do it, the better off I am.
I think that it wouldn't be real. But that was real for me, too. When I first got into it, while I was studying before I took my license, I listened. I had a scanner. And I listened on the scanner, and then I did a whole bunch of surfing the web to hunt for what's the right radio that I need to get. It took me a year before I was comfortable, and I went and got my license, and I listened for a long time to learn what the protocol is, and I was content with that for a long time. Then finally one day I said, I got all this investment, I'm going to squeeze that mic.
Yeah, I went through something very similar. I got my license, had the radio, and I would listen a lot more than I would talk, and then finally I said, just do it. Just like skydiving. Just go ahead and jump out of the perfectly good airplane. You know the parachute's going to work.
I soloed in the light plane. I haven't ever jumped out of a perfectly good airplane yet, but doubt I will now. My bones are probably too brittle for that hard landing at the bottom if you don't flare just right. Have you jumped out of a perfectly good airplane?
Many times. I took a guy's trip out to Vegas, and all the guys were scared, and I looked at the instructor that I was attached to, and I said, let's just jump out of this plane now. I'm tired of waiting. And we jumped out first, and we waited about 10 minutes before we saw anybody else jump out. Of course, when all the guys got on the ground, I had to give them a lot of grief.
Do you have a logbook, kind of like we do with ham radio, or are you just winging it?
I have an official logbook, but from the times that I've gone, I've probably jumped 6 to 7 times already, and I want to at least make a dozen before I can't jump out of a good airplane anymore.
Picking up with the repeater. Well, that sounds like it's a lot of fun. There are some people you'll hear on here that have done that, too. I'm just not one of them. I love flying. I fly with my feet on the ground and my head in the clouds, or I'll fly with my whole body being in the clouds. But either way, one's just as much fun as the other. It's just the hard landings don't hurt as much when your feet are already on the ground.
Yeah, that's a true statement. If you don't land it right, you're gonna hurt yourself a little bit. Thank goodness mine were all pretty smooth. KR4AAE. Yeah, if somebody asked me to go jump out of a good airplane again, I would say, sign me up, what time, and where do I need to be? I will be there. I did think about getting my instructors and doing solos, but I didn't stay long enough to do that.
What radio control?
If you count remote control cars as a kid, then yes. But other than that, nothing that flew in the sky, remote, radio controlled.
For between the radio and flying airplanes, there's a few hams on here that fly. And there's a few flyers out at the airfield that are hams. So there's a little bit of overlap between the two. If you enjoy flying, that's what I enjoy more than radio, but I have an opportunity to do radio. I have many more opportunities to do radio than I do flying. You got into HF yet? You got any HF antennas up?
Not yet on the HF. I've eyed out the HF rig that I want, and I have a couple antennas that I'm comparing and seeing which one I really want to go with, and probably, I'd say beginning of the springtime is when I may get the antennas and get the rig and hop on HF.
HOA free, or are you burdened by an HOA?
I do live in an HOA community, however, it's not a very strict one. They really don't enforce all the rules, which is great. However, I'm still going to be as stealth as possible, even if I have to go outside and manually raise the antenna before I can hop on HF and then take it down every night. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes.
Antennas are good for stealth. There's a couple of them. There's a bunch of good wire antennas. W5GI mystery antenna, Superloop, Carolina Superloop. There's another one that people use a lot, but it's not coming to me right now. Invis depth, those are good. But if you're going to do a tower and you're going to be set still, you're going to raise it lower, that could be laborious, unless you get a pneumatic tower or something like that. If you're talking about putting up like a Yagi beam or something like that, those are
kind of
hard to hide.
Yeah, I would definitely not do that. I don't think I could put a tower in my yard anyways. It would definitely be an end-fed wire. I'm looking at a discone antenna right now what band was it? 2015 and 60 meter, I think. I'll have to look at the spec sheet again. I got it all labeled out on which antenna covers which, and I'm trying to find a balance between the two to cover all the most HF I can using one antenna.
So what I started out doing with the mystery antenna, and then I put a bunch of double bazookas in the attic. Double bazookas are monoband antennas, but they work really good, and as you go up in frequency, they go down in size, they get smaller and smaller. So you can put them in your attic once you get down to, I think the smallest one that would fit in my attic was 20 meters, and then you go up to 17, 15, until you get to 10 meters, 12 and all that, they get smaller and smaller. But then when you try to get down to the low part of the HF band, you go down to 40 meters and 80 meters, they just take a lot of distance. That's not fit in the attic anymore. The W5GI mystery antenna is about 100 feet, a little over 100 feet long, and it'll hide between two tall trees. You got any trees on your lot?
Negative on the trees. That was one downside to me moving into a house. I said I'm going to cut down all the trees because I didn't want them to fall on my house, and now I need a tree for an antenna, so I kind of need to improvise a little bit.
I just cut down two big ones. They weren't so big when we moved in 25 years ago, but they were big, and they weren't far from the house, so I had to cut them down. One of them was a sweet gum tree. It had two trunks, and at the base where the trunks came together was about 4 feet in diameter, and it was about an 80-foot tree, and pretty big trunk. If that thing would have come down, the stump wouldn't have even slowed it down. Well, I don't know. The root ball might have slowed it down a little bit, but the weight of those trunks was enormous. So I understand you're wanting to get rid of them, the ones close to the house. But the ones that are far away, now those can be an advantage. W4DJW.
AR4AAE. Yeah, I would have loved to have more lots. However, when we moved back here, this was the best house with the best school district. So I said, all right, we'll just go here. me, I would be happy with 25 or 50 acres in a two-bedroom, maybe four-bedroom, two full bath, ranch, one story. I'd be fine with that, all out there in the middle of nowhere.
I bet. You know, when we moved in here 25 years ago, this was a country. And not anymore. Now there's all kinds of traffic around here. So I've been looking for land that's further out. And the price does go down. You can get more land for less money as you go closer to the state line. But then if you hit the state line, as you start going into North Carolina, the price starts going back up. And when you get close to Asheville, it's astronomical. But I was hunting for some too because I wanted to put a runway. And finding flat land that won't break the bank, if you put a runway on and, you know, maybe some towers, that you can look for a long time. And when you finally find what you're looking for, they know what they've got. And, yeah, they don't let go of it easy. W4DJW.
I definitely know that one because I did the same thing. And I was like, oh boy, nope, can't get that one. Well, Dave, it's been nice talking to you. I got to run in here and grab a couple things. I'm at my QTH right now. But it was nice talking to you. I'll say 73 for right now, but I'm definitely sure I'll catch you a little bit later. W4DJW for KR4AAE.
I'll talk to you plenty more times in the future. Stay warm, KR4AAE, W4DJW.
That's
just about walking out of the garage. I'm also testing out a new radio it's not a new radio, I've had it for a while, but a new installation of an old radio down in the garage, and they can't get an antenna down here, so I'm having a cross band. But I hear you. How are you, Walt?
I get that 100%. out of the net until it's a number that hit 10 in the last boot. But when I said then, it tells me I'm putting in invalid information.
Arena is doing that.
That's a zombie.
I'll have to try yours. That happened to Gus down in Punta Gorda, Florida. That happened to him for a while. And I went and tried the same thing he was doing. We worked on it for a while, and then all of a sudden he said, well, it's working just fine now. As we were working on it, it started working. All of a sudden, I didn't do anything. I think it has something to do with what's going on at QRZ. I do validate the call, and I use QRZ because it's worldwide, and because people from overseas check in via Echolink sometimes, or they use Prenet, all right? So I can't use the FCC database. I have to use the QRZ database because it's global. And sometimes I think they're working on that, and they break stuff. And it doesn't work for a little while. But don't give up. Keep trying. It should start working again. And I will try your call, too, to see if I get the same thing, see if there's anything going on there. And if I find anything, I'll let you know.
But after the hurricane, it will not let me pass to Atlanta.
If piece of information like that helps, I'll check it out. I'll check your QRZ, the return that I get from your current QRZ, and see why it's saying it's not valid, and let you know, unless it works for me, right? Which is what it did with Gus. It was working for me and not for him. So I'll try it out, and we'll go from there, Walt.
Then after such a testing the time, Lisa, and good luck on the test results, I'll be saying to you.
That means a lot. It does. It really means a lot. And I'll do the same for you. And hopefully, together, we'll get past all this, right?
Man, yeah. I'm going to say my best chance is
them. I have to go outside, so I'm going to get my hand held. Put the thing back on crossband for my handhelds and take them out for their next to the last walk before it gets dark tonight. But good talking to you, Walt. You take care. Stay safe. K4OIM W4DJW.
Is that special?